Jesus. I greet you from the very snowy and snow-covered state of Nebraska, specifically the city of Lincoln. Oh man, it is cold on this side of the world right now. And I greet you in the name of the one that is above every other, the name of Jesus Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses that He indeed is Lord. And some people will bow and confess now and accept His rule and lordship to their own benefit and to their own fulfillment in life. And others will confess and bow later, you know, in the judgment, recognizing and acknowledging that Jesus Christ indeed is Lord of all and over all. The only difference is at that time, it's a sad moment for them personally, because they're lost for all eternity. And they acknowledge the truth right before they're thrown away. So, you know, that's why, we make known the message of the gospel and the good news now, while there is time. We make known the truth while people have breath in their lungs, because they can make a good decision, they can make a good choice. This morning, even going into the afternoon, just been reading this, and thinking about and contemplating, but looking at Nebuchadnezzar, you know, in Daniel chapter 4, and, you've got this guy who is, for all intents and purposes, the most powerful man on the face of the earth in his day and in his age. And, you know, while he was there, you know, in chapter 4, he's contemplating certain things, and God speaks to him. God gives him a dream, gives him a vision. He asks Daniel to interpret it because nobody else can. And, you know, essentially, the vision and the dream was such that, you know, he was this incredible, expansive tree with, whose influence stretched to the ends of the earth. God was going to cut him down and give him a reminder of who he was, and let him be in the field eating grass for 7 years. It's just thinking about that scenario. And here you go. You've got somebody that's at the very top of the world system. That is the world system. When the vision of the statue, which was something else, where Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian system, that he was that head of gold. You know, and there's other kingdoms that came after, but it all was tapped into that. And even with that, God, in the midst of that, gave a reality check, gave a perspective check. I think about the world leaders that we have today. And so many of them tried to brag and to prop themselves up, you know, all over the world. And, none of them have the power and the influence that Nebuchadnezzar had. You know, there may be some military toys that people have today, but they're fragmented. They're all over the place. None of them have that type of weight like he did. Now, there will be, at some point, the man of lawlessness that will come forth. God knows the days, the hours, the seasons, the times of those things. But, right now, from the ones that I've seen out there, you don't have anybody at a level of somebody like Nebuchadnezzar. And despite what they might think and despite what they might feel in their own mind, they're all cheap knockoffs. And here it is, you've got somebody like Nebuchadnezzar. And God speaks to him. God shows him. And also part of the reality check that God wanted to do this. Here, let me grab this scripture here. Daniel chapter 4. And it says, all right, I'm just going to read this to you. Chapter 4 and I'll tell you what, let me just read this chapter. Verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Well, isn't that nice? That he acknowledges God. All right, here we go. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the vision of my head troubled me. Therefore made I decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream, and I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the brows thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. And I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven, and cried aloud, and said, Thus hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream, O King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. I'm just going to read the whole chapter. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astounded for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height there reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowl of the heavens had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the ends of the earth. To the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one come down from heaven, and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the root thereof in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, let 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and giveth it to whomever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquity by showing mercy to the poor. If it may be a lightening of thy tranquility. And all this came upon Nebuchadnezzar, upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom, by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair was grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the days, O Nebuchadnezzar, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Amen. Amen. All right. You know, I wanted to read this for a few reasons. Well, one is that I think we don't get enough word. We don't read enough of the word. Sometimes people just take a verse here and a little scripture there. But boy, get in there. That scripture is life and truth and honest. And it's what's real. And in this place, in this context, you've got to remember. You've got to remember. You've got to know. You know, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, there were certain things that, you know, God did with them, that for them to, he wanted them to remember and to keep those things in remembrance so that they always kept the right context. So even when there was Aaron's rod that budded, when they kept the jar of manna from their time in the desert, they just different things, you know, altars that they set up along the way, you know, with just stones that they set up that were, you know, uncut by tools, and reminders along the way of God's hand, of God's miraculous working power, of his ability to overturn situations and circumstances unto the benefit of his people. Because here's the thing, at the end of this chapter, when Nebuchadnezzar talks, he says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." Verse 35. "And he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doeth thou?" So here's the thing. Nobody can say unto God, "What are you doing?" Nobody can say unto God, "Why are you doing it like this?" They can't. You know, that's why Satanists and Luciferians and political leaders that have given themselves over to demonic power, that's why they get so angry when they get put into question. Because they want to be like God. And God is beyond question. But they are not. And every time a Luciferian or a worker of the devil is brought into question and forced to have to give an account for his actions and forced to have to line his life up with truth, because truth stands above all. God is the standard. God is truth. And every person is aligned and has to ultimately be judged by truth. And when they're judged by truth, they don't like it. But part of the reason they don't like it is because it also reveals to them that though they would like to be God, they are just men. Though they would like to be more than what they are, really in the end, they're nothing. And they too will pass away. They too will stand in the judgment, right there next to everybody else, and give an account of their lives. And either they have been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus, redeemed, received the salvation of their souls that comes from him, or they're not. And woe unto them that have not received the gift of eternal life that comes in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're left having to pay an incredible price that you can never pay. You're left unto yourself. You're left all alone for all eternity. There is no love in hell. There is no camaraderie in hell. There is no companionship in hell. There is no fulfillment in hell. There is just eternal suffering and pain and anguish and lament forever and ever. No stopping. No time. You know, there's occasionally, you know, I'll see a good show here and there or something like that. And sometimes, you know, I've seen shows where people have been put in difficult situations or in trying circumstances. And one of the things that gives people hope and enables them to press through is because they know that there's an end point to what they're going through. So whether it's somebody that's going through a difficult circumstance and they have hope and they or they don't, if they can just make it to through a few days of really difficult, trying circumstances, that maybe they might be rescued or so. But in hell, there is no end. In hell, there is no stop. In hell, the only thing that you know is that you have been rejected and thrown away, and the anguish and the lament will never stop. Would to God that people would live with the reality and understanding of the truth and the fact that those that do not have the blood of Jesus on their life, that have not been, have not received the redemption, that they're not in a good place. Look, without Jesus, you're lost. Without Jesus, you don't have what you need. Without Jesus, your life already right now is meaningless. Your purpose is meaningless. Your timing here is meaningless. Everything about your life is meaningless without Christ Jesus. And then you go on from this life into an eternal existence being thrown away. I wish, I would to God, that those of you that are listening right now, that know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would make known the truth whenever and wherever God gives you the opportunity to do so. That you wouldn't just listen here and get filled up and feel blessed and just be able to carry on a little bit longer, but that you would realize that God has left you in the earth to be a witness and to speak the truth. Stop trying to just make it here. Realize that God has put you here for a purpose. He sustained you here for a purpose, and it wasn't just to make it. You were intended to live an abundant life, but that abundant life is not consist of the abundance of your possessions. The abundant life is wrapped up in the fulfillment that you experience and know because you walk with Him. Look, God has an incredible way of orchestrating your circumstances when you walk with Him. He has an incredible way of having you be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing when you're being led by His Spirit in the right way. God will do that with you. But that requires that you submit yourself to Him. My sheep know my voice, they won't follow another. That requires that you be led by His Spirit. That requires that you look to Him. And you know what? Be honest with Him. If you're struggling with something, be honest with Him. Look, you know, sometimes people, they've been so religiously programmed, they can't get past all of that. And they're still in that place when they go and pray, and they're like, "Oh, thou that flung the stars in the sky and stretched forth the firmament." You know, look, listen, He knows that He put it up there. He knows He put the stars in the sky. Open up your heart and let there be communication. And be real and be honest and be truthful and let God minister to you. Let Him speak to you. Let Him show you. Let Him give you context for your life and for your journey while you're here. And amidst all the things that go on in the earth, also realize and know that He is in control and that He has all power. All power in heaven and on earth has been given unto Him, Christ Jesus. And He said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. All power in heaven and on earth has been given unto Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. If you're under the authority of Christ Jesus, if you're in the kingdom of God, if you're under His lordship, then you have what you need. You can go anywhere. You can do anything. Look, with authority, when you're under authority, you flow in that place. When you are when authority has been given unto you, you wield that power that is there in that place of authority, in that position. It's with you now. So for example, when somebody goes in to say a particular job and takes over a company, and that person's now the CEO of that company and been given authority by a board of directors to do certain things. In that position, as a chief executive officer, he can make decisions for that company. And he's been given that authority, and with that authority comes power to do things, to make decisions, to make choices. And in those lines, there comes responsibility with that. When you live and move and have your being in Christ Jesus, and you pray in the name of Jesus, authority goes with that. And with the authority that is in His name, and with the authority that you have by walking with Him, there is power in that. Do you understand that in the natural, maybe Nebuchadnezzar had authority, but in the realm of spirit, Daniel was the one that trumped Nebuchadnezzar. Do you understand that? Do you understand that in the natural, Nebuchadnezzar could ask and tell his soldiers to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, but in the spiritual, God had their back. And Nebuchadnezzar wasn't going to survive the fire. With all of his power and all of his greatness, he could not survive the fire. He couldn't survive that, and he knew it. See, that's where the... You know, the quality of world leaders has significantly diminished as time has gone on. Because at least Nebuchadnezzar understood that. At least he understood, he had a reality check, and even though he had all of his own issues, even though all of that was still there, but he still recognized the Lord, He is God. And He's the one above all. And he had enough of a perspective to respect the King of Kings and to know that there is one above him. You know, here's the thing. The power of God is there for His people. And in this day that we live in right now, we live in that time of God pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. God's pouring out His Spirit upon His people to do incredible things, to do incredible exploits. This, I tell you, this, as far as a time in history, is... It is. I can't think of a more incredible time. With all that's going on the earth, a more incredible time to be one of His, to be one of God's, to be somebody walking with Christ Jesus, to be living and moving and having your being in Him, and to be here now, and to be about your Father's business. This time right now is incredible. And the power of God is there for you. And no one can question the God that we serve. No one has anything on Him. He's the one that sets the stage. And you know what He showed with Nebuchadnezzar too? Look, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to let you have and keep your position for now. When I don't want you to have it, I'm going to take your mind from you, because even that's been given to you by me. I'm going to take it away from you for 7 years, and then I'm going to give it back to you. The king's heart is in God's hand, and He directs it wherever He wants. That's either in Psalms or Proverbs. I think it's in the Psalms. What did God say to Pilate? When Jesus was there standing before Pilate, and Pilate just like Nebuchadnezzar, Pilate saying to Jesus, "Don't you know that I've got the ability to crucify you or to let you go?" What did Jesus say? He said, "Look, you wouldn't have this position that you have unless God wanted you to have it." And he said, "Therefore, the ones that handed me over to you, they're guilty of the greater sin." You're not off the hook, though. I mean, this is now I'm putting my thoughts are coming to me as well in the middle of this. Pilate's not off the hook. He's still accountable unto God. But Pilate, put in that situation, put in that position, allowed to have it by the will of God. Now here's the thing. Wherever you are in life, whatever position that you are in life, you need to bow your knee before the living God. You need to ask the Lord for His direction, His guidance, His plan, His purpose, the will of God to be manifest in that position wherever you are around the world. Whether you are cleaning toilets, whether you are teaching kids, whether you are running a company, whether you are in government, whether you are a spiritual leader, whatever you are doing anywhere in the world, whatever it may be, you need to be asking God, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven," right here, under the realm of whatever responsibility and authority in the natural even that I have. "Lord God, you have your will and your way, and I am going to look to you to direct and to lead and to guide the life that you've given me. I'm going to look to you, the author and the finisher of my faith. And you want me somewhere else? You move me somewhere else. And I will move somewhere else. You just lead and guide me. You want me here? Then whatever I'm doing, I want it to be in step with you. Father, have your way in Jesus' name." That's what God wants with you. But Pilate, in his own mind, thought he was something. And Jesus had to give him a reality check. Nebuchadnezzar, in his own mind, thought he was something. And God gave him a reality check. 7 year long reality check. And when he came out of it, he acknowledged God. When he came out of it, he bowed his knee. He knew who was in control. He knew who he was ultimately accountable to. He knew that this life and all that it is ultimately is in God's hand. See, this is why, too, I don't worry much about world leaders. I don't worry much about evil men in positions. Occasionally, God quickens me to pray for them. Sometimes, we pray however it is that God has us to pray. This happens too. Sometimes it can be very interesting ways that God has us to pray. There's been times that God's had us to pray for a certain one's protection because of something that would be about to be happening, and God has protected them. There's been other times that God has prayed that for the neutralization of certain things that they would do, had us to pray. And certain things have stopped. And there's other times, you know, we just carry on with what God's got us doing. But the thing that I've seen, the thing that I understand, is the kingdom of God is above the kingdom of this world. The children of God that walk in the Spirit of God and in His power, greater is He that is in them than he that is in the world. So those that are God's, they walk in a higher level. They walk with more authority. They walk with more power. They walk with they walk with Him. So are we worried? Are we perplexed? No. We're not. Jesus said, "Fear not." He even told us in advance about difficult times that would come on the earth. He told us in advance that they would be here and that they would happen. And in the process of Him telling us that, He said, "But look, don't let your hearts be troubled. You know, these things must come to pass. Even with Jesus, over 300 prophecies spoken about his life, about his death and resurrection, about all the things that would happen with him. And for him, he was careful, as led by the Spirit, to fulfill every one of them. Every last one of them he fulfilled. So even when he was on the cross, and even as scriptures talked about him being given the bitter gall to drink, and he said, "I thirst." Jesus fulfilled every single one. And the time that we live in right now, the Word of God is being fulfilled. The Word of God is being fulfilled. The Word of God is being fulfilled in your life, in my life. The Word of God is being fulfilled in the world that we live in right now. The Word of God is going forth. His truth is going forth. And here's the thing. When worlders are given windows of time, even Nebuchadnezzar, when Daniel gave him that word and interpreted the vision, he even, in verse 27, he said, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sin by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it be a lengthening of thy tranquility." So maybe, look, if right standing with God, break off your sin by right standing with God. Break off your sin by right standing with God. Be merciful. Be merciful to the poor. Be merciful to those that don't have the power and the resource to fight for themselves. Be merciful to them. Use your power for good. Use your position for good and stop that which you're doing that's wrong and evil by right standing with God. And maybe, you know, your tranquility can go on for longer. You know, and doesn't say much about what happened after that. But what we do know is 12 months later. 12 months later. When he's standing up there and flourishing in his house, it's all about I. It's all about my. Spoke unto himself. You know, look at all that I've built. The house that I've built. The might of my power. And for my honor and my majesty. It's all about himself. Refusing to acknowledge the hand of God, who's the very one that put him there, the very one that allowed him to be there, the very one that allowed him to breathe his next breath. To every world leader out there, do you realize that your very breath has been given to you, put on loan there by God? He's letting you breathe right now, this very moment. And if he wants it back, he can take it back right now, and no one can stop him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools! Fools believe the lie! Listen, my brothers and sisters. God is in control. You who have bowed your knee before the King of Kings, you who have bowed your knee before the Lord Jesus Christ, asked Him to save you, asked Him to lead you, to guide you, to be your Lord, to be your Master, you're on an incredible journey. Embrace that. Don't worry about the things going on in this world. Just whatever you have that's there. Scriptures tell us, be anxious about nothing. But in all things, with prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts as you trust Him. Look, if you've got something that's on your mind, put it before Him. He'll show you sometimes how to pray. Pray that way. And persist. And then when you feel a release in your spirit, move on. Carry on. God intended that you would live an abundant life, and your abundant life is not going to be based on the context or the nature of the situations going on around you or externally. That abundant life is contingent on Him leading you and guiding you by His Spirit. He is your good shepherd. Follow His voice and be led by Him all of the days of your life. Walk with Him in obedience. Love Him and enjoy it, because He is in control and you are His. With that, hey, God bless you guys. We love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. Write us. You know, occasionally we were getting some letters, and I know some of you guys, you haven't written us for a while. And I hope that means that you're doing well. I pray that means that you're doing well. But either way, if you're doing well or if you're struggling or whatever's going on, just write us and let us know you're out there. We really appreciate it. We just like to know that you're there. And, you know, it blesses us. You can also reach us through our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix, one word. You can find us there. And, hey, keep on keeping on. And we'll talk to you soon. We're praying for you guys. Love you. Bye.